from the Go Mile High Studios. This is the best damn sports show, period. With your hosts,
Ian McClintock,
Jason Meekum,
Jack Jones,
Estelle Ambrose,
and Tariq Young.
Welcome in to the best damn sports show, period. It's Estelle. I'm your host today. We are joined with a great cast of characters. We have Jack Jones, Jason Meekum, Ian McClintock running the boards. It's a good day. It is a great weekend. I would avoid Denver if you are not going to the following things: Rockies versus Yankees or Taylor Swift.
I'd also try to find a way to Denver avoiding the road, even if you are going to those things.
I mean, those light rails, they're free through August from what I heard from the airport. Yeah, so if you're flying in for the Swifty weekend, just take the A train all the way down to Union Station, walk a couple blocks, you're fine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's right at the beginning of Broncos season. They have it for free, too, so...
Ooh.
It's nice, but don't go downtown, no.
Yes, I would stay away if you are, like, even if you're just coming, go bar hop literally anywhere else. But getting into our show, getting to sports, some real sports, even though it's going to be a very packed weekend. Probably lots of walking, lots of jumping for me as I am going to Taylor Swift on Saturday. I cannot wait. But we are going to first start out with a little bit of an ESPYs recap. The past few days, we've been giving you our predictions for who's going to win. We finally had the big night. Jack, you have some opinions.
I mean, we were pretty wrong across the board. I mean,
we had a few, right?
We had a couple good ones. But, I mean, right at the tippy top of this list,
it's probably like one of the biggest awards.
Yeah, best team of the year. There were a lot of teams up for this, and we had a very heated debate about this the other day on how me and Estelle both thought it should be Oklahoma. Ian thought it would be LSU.
Or the Golden Knights.
And then it ended up going to the Kansas City Chiefs, who were not the best team throughout their whole sport. I mean, I get it. They won the championship. But you have a team like the Nuggets that dominated their way through the playoffs and Vegas.
And the regular season. Nuggets were also dominant in the regular season besides their last month.
You also have a team like the Sooners who have been dominant for 53 straight games and 3 straight national titles. And you're going to give it to the Kansas City Chiefs? I don't know. That one confused me because I don't think they deserve it. I thought there were much more deserving teams. That LSU run was incredible.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, like I said, when we were debating this a few days ago, I brought up LSU, Vegas, and the Denver Nuggets, thinking that all of them being first-time winners, I thought they would have leaned that way. But it also, you know, just kind of looking at some of these other awards, it is very NFL-heavy.
Very much so. I mean,
best men's athlete went to Patrick.
Best play went to Justin Jefferson.
I mean, to be fair, that was a fantastic.
I mean,
I'm not gonna argue that.
You gotta experience that one right up close and personal.
Yeah, you know, these heartstrings, they can only take so much.
I was glad that Mekhi Schifrin won the best women's athlete. That was much, much deserved.
Yep.
I thought they got that one completely correct. Ian, you were correct on best breakthrough athlete with Angel Reese.
Yep.
She was much deserving as well.
That has caused some controversy on Twitter. People are not happy that she got it over Caitlin Clark.
I thought differently, but at the same time, I think she fully deserved it. I mean, she made a breakthrough in women's college basketball this season, and she had the swagger. She was kind of the face of that team, so good for her. I think she was much deserving. I mean, we all knew that best record-breaking performance was going to go to LeBron James.
As much as we did not want to see it, yeah.
Even though he did not deserve that one either.
And the thing is, I'm not even bothered by him winning this award. I'm more bothered by his speech.
Oh, my God.
For telling the fans, lucky for us, he's not retiring. Can you be more conceited? Well, honestly, I get it. You're doing a little bit of fanfare because this is in L.A., but where's the humility in this?
Well, also, it's just like, did anyone really think he was going to retire? I mean,
it was a good talking point, but...
I mean, it was, but LeBron averaged, you know, 29 points a game during the regular season last year. You think he's just going to end off losing and getting swept in the Western Conference Finals? No, it was another moment where LeBron, you know, without making it obvious, made the entire night about himself. I mean,
yeah.
He brought all the media attention to him. And it even over surpasses a moment like DeMar Hamlin's, you know? A very heart-wrenching moment and something that was beautiful to watch. And everything everybody can talk about is, oh, LeBron's coming back to the NBA. It's like, yeah, we all knew that was going to happen.
I mean, it wasn't just, like, DeMar Hamlin. It was also Liam Hendricks with his whole fight. You had Drew and Lauren Holiday. I don't know if you guys saw their piece.
Yep.
I saw it earlier today. That was heartbreaking. You had the women's national team of soccer who got their award for wage equality. Yeah. Like, all these things, and it's all about, oh, LeBron's not retiring. No one thought he was going to.
Well, and it's, yeah, no, it was all over my social media page, and I was like, there were a lot more important things that happened tonight rather than just LeBron saying, oh, I'm coming back to the NBA. Of course he's coming back to the NBA. I mean, he had this whole spiel about, oh, when I'm not going to contribute to the league anymore, like, I'm going to be done. Dude, you're going to play until you're past that time. He's going to play till he's too old to be playing. We know it's LeBron James. He has a drive only few have in the NBA. And I'm just sick of it, this whole retirement talk. It's turning into Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, that I was going to compare it similar to a Brett Favre situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like, oh, I'm going to retire. I'm not. I'm going to. I'm not. I retire. I'm back. I retire. I'm back. Tom Brady. This time I'm gone. Well, the thing is,
but Brett Favre did it on another level.
So, one thing, and I can't believe I'm actually about to say this, I actually might be defending Brady on one point in my life.
Oh, wow.
So, at least when he announced his actual retirement, when he got to do it, you know, he admitted, you know, you only get one long-winded thing, but he kept it short, sweet, to the point. He said he was done. He thanked the fans, the players, and then he stayed away, you know.
He made jokes about it too.
Yeah.
Well, and yeah, people kind of made their fun out of it, like, oh, I'm not writing a whole nother thing for you. Congratulations on retirement again.
Yeah, but at the same time, you saw him come out with a little humility, be like, look, the first way didn't go the way I wanted to. This time it is. I'm walking away. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that with LeBron last night.
No.
And then to have his entire family, which I thought that was kind of a cool moment, having Savannah and the kids. But I don't know. It rubbed me the wrong way. Like, this whole act of LeBron is starting to wear thin on me.
Well,
it really is.
It's like every time some accolade happens for LeBron or any award show or anything happens in the sports world, it feels like at this point, somehow it comes back to LeBron. And maybe not when you're talking about other sports, but especially in the NBA, no matter what time of the year, it'll always be tied back to LeBron. When you have a Grammys version of a sports award show, of course it's going to be tied back to LeBron. I mean, he, without doing it in the most sly way possible, he creates all the attention towards himself.
Well, and my whole thing with it as well is just, remember when he broke the scoring title? There was like 14 seconds left in the third quarter.
Finish off the quarter.
Finish the quarter, finish the game, and do it afterwards.
That's what I thought. I thought they should have finished the game because that game had playoff implications to it. It was important, and we saw the game was different after that whole ceremony was done.
I mean, they still lost because that's what happens.
LeBron didn't score another point, or he scored like two more points. I mean, he got to the record and basically was like, all right, I'm good for the game. I'm like, dude, you still have to win. I mean, this team's fighting for a play-in spot with you, and you're going to just blow off the rest of the game. Do it after the game. You can still recognize him, but you know, everything in the world had to stop in that moment for LeBron James.
I mean, it also in a way validates AD's feelings the next day, because mm-hmm. a lot of sports pundits were coming out saying, oh, why wasn't AD happy? Look up at the scoreboard. You're losing to the Thunder.
Yeah.
At home.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be happy if I was losing in
a game.
They
lost the game too.
Yeah, like, cool, congrats, awesome moment, but it didn't have to be right then.
Jason,
so,
I want to know what you think about this whole LeBron thing.
Dude, the guy's like, he's just like putting dents on his legacy. It's not
I
ending.
Think he is.
Did you see the goggles that he was wearing?
Oh my god.
He reminded me from the guys that going about the Willy Wonka Chocolate Factory.
the doctor from Despicable Me with the.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a fan of fashion. I'm like, that does not look good. You don't need to wear sunglasses at night inside of a stadium.
Yeah.
But, yes, to all your guys' points, you guys know it. I think he made it too much about him, and it's unfortunate because he's taken thunder from all these other awards of athletes like Jamal Murray, who tried so hard.
Yeah, I think it's cool that Jamal did get his moment. I liked his speech, you know. They got it up.
I liked his joke, right. too.
He's like, when he's on a stage, this time he actually gives a speech. I mean,
yeah.
On, the parade, he kind of forgot.
Well, I mean, I don't think he really was trying to, but, I mean, when you have all the ESPN cameras on you and things of that nature, I mean, I thought it was cool. I do wish there was a little more flow with who is presenting. Like, I understand that they mix up, like, the athletes and things of that nature, but I don't know. I just think it'd be more beneficial if you have, like, basketball players handing out the basketball awards.
Well, in that certain situation with Jamal Murray, it'd been cool to have, like, Alex Smith present that award to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or, you know, whoever.
Yeah, like somebody that's come back from an injury like that before. Yeah. You could even put it in the basketball world, too. Travis Kelce.
Klay Thompson.
Jason was saying this on the timeout before we started the show. It was kind of weird that Travis Kelce did give him the award. It just didn't really fit, you know? I mean, I get they want to put Travis Kelce up there because of his name and popularity, but...
Give him a football.
let him give Patrick Mahomes his best men's athlete or best football player or whatever.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, have Travis Kelce... do, like, the best NFL player or best female or male athlete.
Well, maybe it puts a sour taste in our mouth because he's given a Denver guy an award, but it's true feelings of a Broncos Nuggets fan, you know. You don't want to see Travis Kelce giving out your Denver award, I mean.
Yeah.
But,
well, because, I mean, if you notice, like, especially with some of the bigger awards, like your Arthur Ashe Awards, your Jimmy V's, they have very specific presenters for those. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to, like, the individual awards, it almost feels like a smorgasbord of who's
super
who up there.
Super ADHD and random and,
you know. What the biggest names? Who can we get here?
They don't have a, like, the best athlete giving player or something out there? Who donated the most? Who did the most for the community?
I mean,
award out there. Is it just?
I feel that's Drew and Lauren Holiday got. Yeah, the final one. That's what theirs was. They donate a lot of money and do a lot of work in the community.
And I mean, each respective sports kind of have their award. Like the Walter Payton Award's kind of what that's for in the NFL. I don't know if there's there's one on every.
There's one in hockey.
Sport. Is there one for basketball, Ian? Like the Walter Payton Award for
that's
basketball?
That's what I was kind of thinking.
For hockey, I'm
there
not.
There is one for hockey.
For basketball or baseball, do you know?
I know I've seen one for baseball. I don't know if I've ever seen one for basketball.
Well, it's nice that they give one out at the ESPYs, though. Like, it's the ultimate man of the year.
Yeah, so, but I mean, I don't think any of them are nearly as publicized as the Walter Payton Man of the Year.
No, I mean, none of them really are.
Yeah. Well, on the other side, Kyrie Irving has a new shoe deal and more about the NBA offseason. We'll be right back on the Best Damn Sports Show, period.
Goody, young Papsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Popsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
Colorado Media School, hands-on learning in one of the most exciting career fields out there. Internship opportunities are limitless. We have 3 on-campus radio stations, 2 TV stations, and you'll have the opportunity to participate in projects like doing play-by-play live from a sporting event or the 48-hour film project. We have after-graduation career placement assistance and financial aid for those who qualify. Check us out online at ColoradoMediaSchool.com, on Facebook and Instagram, and CO Media School on Twitter and Snapchat. You can also call 303-937-7070.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. a message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, great. Flowing robes, grace, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than Go Mile High Dicam, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
This is the best damn sports show, period.
Ian McClintock. It's easier to access. They already have the transportation, the subway system and everything. And plus the history of Wrigley Field, I feel, carries a little bit more weight than, say, the Sky Dome or the Camden Yards.
Jack Jones.
That Baltimore deserves it. I think they should, because unlike Chicago and unlike Toronto, I get it'll be great sales, but I feel like it'd bring a lot of popularity to the young Baltimore Orioles.
Estelle Ambrose, best in terms of crowds. We see how hard they go for the in the playoffs and even for the Maple Leafs. And when the Raptors were in it too, they have
loyal fans.
Yeah, yeah, the fans will show up, and I think it will be a great atmosphere.
Tune in to the best damn sports show, period, Monday through Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. for more content like this on GoMileHigh.com.
We are back on the best damn sports show, period. We are going to get in a little bit, touching on this Kyrie Irving shoe deal, brand deal. He's kind of like signing his name to Anta. I think Anta, A-N-T-A.
It's like Anta signed, hired him.
Yeah. But he is getting a shoe deal, and he also is the chief creative officer. Who knows what that means at this point, but do you think this has any impact on other athletes branching farther out to get either shoe deals or clothing deals?
Not yet. I mean, he just signed this Anta deal. We don't see a bunch of big stars going to Anta. If you don't know what Anta is, I don't really have a good sense of it, but I read a couple things yesterday.
Yeah,
it's like the third highest grossing sports equipment company behind Nike and Adidas.
Yeah,
so
it's the Chinese equipment,
like the Chinese
equivalent to Nike.
Nike, you know. So, I mean, if he is successful through it and ends up making a ton of money, yeah, people are going to totally follow him, but I don't think anybody will end up following him to Anta unless there's massive successes.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at this list right now of NBA stars. Alex Caruso, Klay Thompson, Gordon Hayward. That's a big one. Jacob Evans, Rajon Rondo, and Kyrie Irving. And there's a couple other ones, but they're no ones. And I'm looking at this deal.
Oh, they're all going to Anta?
Yeah. And
some of them previously signed with Anta. I remember Caruso.
Okay.
With Kyrie Irving, you know, this guy who's a player who also believes the earth is flat and didn't do his COVID shot, I think he'd probably be a lot more happy doing a China company.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. When you read all those names off, I mean, Klay Thompson sticks out a little bit, but those guys aren't superstars. This is the first superstar, technically, that they've ever signed. So, I mean, again, if it goes well, I mean, we look at his Nike deal, and he made $11 million through his shoe deal through Nike. If it surpasses that, then heck yeah. I bet a bunch of guys will go over there. But I just don't see it being incredibly successful. I haven't seen a Klay Thompson apparel, Alex Caruso apparel, Gordon Hayward. Like, I haven't seen anything from those guys.
And it's not like they're huge deals in China either. Like, I feel like if it was like Dwight Howard, right? He's playing in the Chinese league.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, that would make a little bit more sense because you're tapping into that market. But all these guys still play in the U.S., so it's just interesting.
Well, it's just so far, you know?
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, when you think NBA, you're thinking, you know, Nike, Adidas,
Under Armour,
New Balance.
Yeah, even New
Wilson.
Balance. Reebok.
Yeah, Wilson, Reebok.
Reebok's Adidas.
Puma. Yeah, but, I mean, Anta doesn't come up in those names.
No.
Especially when it comes to shoe deals. And then for Kyrie to be named the chief creative officer, I mean, you're trusting Kyrie to spearhead the development and execution of Anta's creative vision and strategy.
It's basically letting him design his own shoe.
No, he's in charge of everybody.
Yeah.
Shoe. So he has to hire the people that design his. So he gets to bring in his own shoemaking people.
Well, it's for everyone's shoe. Yeah. It's not just him.
Not only that, and I also think overseas, cheaper labor laws, might be able to get his shoes a little bit cheaper here in the States.
Well, then you got import taxes.
Imports. Yeah. You know, I mean, I could go into a bunch of logistical things with that. I do think it's an interesting choice. I feel like Anta's doing this, you know, just to really gain a foothold in the NBA, you know, especially having a name like Kyrie Irving, who, I mean, we can deny it, but he really is still a superstar in the NBA. But, you know, having him and maybe Klay Thompson, you know, have them get in on some branding and, you know, slowly release some commercials. And then, you know, we could actually see some more people, whether it be fans or potentially players signing.
Yeah, but
I mean, it's going to take a lot.
I just don't think the States either are going to want to put Kyrie Irving's commercial up in big broadcasts.
No, I don't think ESPN in particular will do it.
it's the same NBA conversation TV. I've been, or the same topic we've kind of been touching on with different players throughout the week. Ja Morant, Fernando Tatis, all these type of guys. Their leagues don't want to put them on the highest pedestal right now because of what they've done. Because of in the past year what Kyrie Irving has come out and said and done, the NBA does not want to reward him by broadcasting his commercial.
Well, it's not rewarding. It's more of like they don't want to have all the backlash. Well, they don't want to lose
it's
fans.
It's also like it's maybe not rewarding, but they don't want to help him make money off of it at the same time because if they're helping him make money, they're actually losing money by putting his commercial out there because it's a look for the NBA like they're supporting him.
In a way, yes, but at the same time, if Anta is out there paying for the commercial space and that money is going to the NBA, I don't see the NBA turning down that kind of money because Anta, it definitely feels like they have a little bit of money to throw around.
A little bit,
and
yeah.
That's why they're able to sign Kyrie, Klay Thompson, and others, and to be able to, you know, hire an NBA player to be your chief creative officer. I mean, that's a very bold move, and that would have to take a lot of money for anybody to probably consider, especially when your main focus supposedly is basketball. And we know that Kyrie has been dabbling in other ventures. You know, this could just be the next big venture.
It just seems to me like it's like he's taking the exit off the highway, and this is like this is just continuing the downfall of Kyrie Irving. He has to leave the top NBA brand sponsorship in the country, maybe in the world, and Nike. And he now, and Adidas won't want to sign him, and all these American based companies are not going to want to sign him. So he has to go all the way to China and sign with Anta because, in my opinion, I think they were the only ones that even probably had an offer up for him at this point. I think because they're such a small business in an American sense, I know they're not small over in China, but to us Americans, we've never heard of Anta before Kyrie Irving. So I would imagine that he maybe negotiated his way into that chief spot because they aren't huge over here, but it's just a weird move to me. I mean, it just seems like nobody else had anything else to give him.
Right, and the other thing that I want to add on to it before we move on here is I know that the NBA, they've always been a huge, or trying to emphasize becoming more of a global brand.
Yeah.
So I wonder if this is maybe a way that Kyrie's looking at that. It's like, okay, maybe with me signing this deal, we can help this become a bigger brand because they do have an international deal with China. I mean, obviously, we wouldn't have had players like Yao Ming. We wouldn't have players like Zi Yingliang, who plays for Houston. I mean, they have good players over there. Not on the same level.
Who reached out to who?
I don't know. Deal.
We're not sure on that part. It's just something that's kind of really come up. But
off of that point, Ian, I don't, and I'm not Kyrie Irving. These are just assumptions, but I don't think he cares for the better of the NBA right now. I mean, they have put him through all of it in his own beliefs, and some say deserving, some say not. Whatever your opinion is fine, but he's had to work really hard to get back to the NBA, and I'm feeling doubtful that he's going to go sign a deal just to help the NBA. I genuinely think this is the only place that offered him a shoe deal.
Especially after the Nike fallout.
Because listen to the guys that signed deals with them. Who are they? Who knows? Who cares? I mean, Steph Curry's not going to sign a deal with Anta. Kevin Durant, Nikola Jokic, whoever, Joel Embiid, none of those guys are signing with Anta. He is on the end of his superstar time in the NBA. Nike dropped him. This is the next best option. This is probably the most money he could have made out of it.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It'll be interesting to see. Like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if we do see an ad or two, you know, maybe on NBA TV or something like that. But, you know, good for him. I mean, he did something to expand and make sure that his generational wealth will continue to grow.
Hey, yeah.
What's his job, though? The chief what?
Creative
officer. So he can go up to Klay Thompson in the middle of game like, you better let me score on you. I'm going to make your shoes look like crap.
I wouldn't say anything to, like, that extreme. But
I mean,
it gives him the power to make his shoe?
Technically, yes.
That sucks.
It gives him the power to be the masterminds behind the shoe of Klay Thompson.
Man, if I were Klay Thompson, forget that. I'm out.
If I'm any of those NBA players signed with Anta right now, I'd be pissed, too. I don't want another NBA player designing my shoe.
Or having, like, a say in it, like, at all.
Yeah, let me design my own shoe. And maybe he will give them that creative freedom. Because he is an NBA player, but we'll just have to see. It's a really weird situation.
Absolutely. Well, we've talked Kyrie Irving. We're going to get even more into the NBA. This offseason has been kind of crazy, kind of boring in some instances. We're going to get to the winners, losers, and so many other and other teams we want to talk about on the other side.
Popsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Popsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama, you know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing. Oh. See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed 2 eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen.
College Radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Best damn sports show, period.
Ian McClintock. The one vote that was not given to him, rightfully so, was given to David Pastrnak, the best player on the best team potentially of all time as far as the regular season goes. It was not a second place vote. It was not a third place vote. It was not a fourth place vote. This writer wrote in Connor McDavid as the fifth best player in the NHL.
Jason Miko.
They do every year, you know how they do the top 100, and then it's the players that vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think that's pretty cool because I think it's always pretty accurate. I always feel like number one should really be, you know, MVP. But the NBA really does make it so political, and that's probably mainly the media's fault. But, you know, to your point, I feel like if it's a media member, then maybe it should be someone that has played in the past or with maybe even coached.
Jack Jones.
It's just like he had one of the all-time historic seasons, and this guy really has to come in and ruin his unanimous heart trophy. Like, there's... I get it. Like, he was going to win no matter what. But when you're one vote off of being unanimous, like, being a unanimous Hart Trophy or MVP winner is historic.
Tune in to the Best Damn Sports Show, period, Monday through Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. for more content like this on GoMileHigh.com.
Winners and losers of the NBA offseason. This is the Best Damn Sports Show, period. How I'm defining winners and losers for my picks. I'm saying a winner is someone who, where they are in the standings. So, like, if playoff teams took the next step they needed to make better. So, like, the Thunder, are they closer to being a playoff team? Did, like, the Hawks get any closer to being not a play-in team and being a top six playing? And then, like, the losers are the people who, like, just got worse, didn't make good plays. It's the bottom feeding teams who did not make smart moves to get either worse where they want to be or any meaningful better. So I'm gonna start because I want to start, and this is my show.
We're not gonna boo her for that.
My show.
Oh my god.
I think no. My winner of the offseason, I think, is the Clippers, in my opinion. The Clippers, they get Russell Wilson back on an incredibly team-friendly deal.
Westbrook,
not Wilson.
He's going to the Clippers? Thank God they took his deal.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's not a team-friendly deal. Russell Westbrook returns on on a two-year deal that's incredibly team-friendly.
For a steal,
like, barely is counting against the cap in, like, the long term. They bring back Mason Plumlee, who... we wanted Plum Dog here to be a backup, but he's only on a one-year deal, so if the Clippers somehow end out of the playoffs or are not looking good at the trade deadline, you can easily buy him out or trade him. He's a great trade piece because he is only on that one-year deal. And then bringing in Kenyon Martin Jr., I think they took a step forward in a right direction. You get a full training camp, off-season, full season with Russell Westbrook in your lineup. I think it puts them in a better spot, and you just got to hope Kawhi and Paul George are healthy and don't take random games off here and there. So that is my winner. I'm going to throw it to you, Ian. Who is your winner?
So it might be a little bit more under the radar because they really didn't do a whole lot of moves in free agency. Don't do what?
Who are you going to say?
I'm going to Indianapolis.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness you didn't take
my pick. Yeah, no, I'm going to go to the Pacers. You know, it is very much... they kept a lot of their core together. They signed Tyrese Haliburton to the rookie max extension, which was obviously a fantastic choice. You bring in Bruce Brown on a two-year deal.
You really overpaid for him.
Yeah, exactly. Some people say overpay, but the thing is he fits in that role so well. You know, he might get starter minutes.
He might be
the sixth man behind Buddy Hield and Tyrese Haliburton, but he brings 3 and D, which we all know that they really needed. And then they go and get Obi Toppin in a trade with the Knicks. So, I mean, you get a little bit more size underneath to help out with Miles Turner. You know, it may not be a lot to get Indiana up into, say, the top six, but this definitely puts them closer to playoff contention, potentially to play in. And I really do like the moves that Indiana did. So for me, I've got the Pacers.
Jason?
I actually have the Milwaukee Bucks. They signed Malik Beasley. I don't know if that's going to help too much. I mean, we saw him here in Denver. He is a pretty good three-point shooter. I still love his run to the three-point line when he hawked up and won the game. Jay Crowder, I think I'll be a great solid backup. AJ Green, nah, it's all right. But then they return Brooke Lopez, and his brother came in, Robin Lopez.
Oh, they got both the Lopez boys.
And I think that's awesome. That's some brother teamwork right there. And Chris Middleton, which I think fits perfectly in that team, returns for another 3-year deal. So I think they did fantastic on the offseason season.
Yeah, I mean, they went for size, and they got the size they needed. I'm going to go a different route. I think that another kind of low-key winner is the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Okay.
They did a lot of moves.
I think that bringing back Caris LeVert was super important. He's a super important scorer on that team. Along with bringing in a guy like Strus. Strus isn't going to be a starter like he was on Miami, but he's a key three ball off the bench. You know, he's a guy that can get you a bucket here and there. We even saw in the playoffs, he's not a horrible defender at all. I mean, he can stand his ground even against a bigger opponent. So I like that shooting off the bench along with Niang. I think Niang is a key bench piece for this squad. They have a lot of young players. Niang's been in the league for a couple years. You know, he can shoot the three a little bit. He can play some defense. He can play down below. I just think, you know, they were really on the edge of being the like best or one of the best teams in the East. They needed to make a couple moves, and I actually think they can make a run to the finals this year with the moves they've made this offseason.
That's bold.
I know.
That is very bold.
An incredibly bold take, but I do agree. The Cavs, I think they really bolstered their depth because they have a good core. They have Donovan Mitchell, who became just a bucket last year for whatever reason. Milwaukee, too, I think, again, just shoring up the depth. When you have your starters, when you know who you have, I think it's really just getting better around the edges. Indiana's the only one where I'm like, I don't know, because that Bruce Brown deal is incredibly, that's a lot of money. Like, I get they do have the cap space on like some of the other championship teams, but right, it's a lot of money for a guy who potentially is coming off your bench.
Right. And the only concern that I had with Milwaukee, which was Jason's pick for this, is that if you notice, a lot of these deals are for older players. And with the generation and the talent of the NBA getting younger, I just worry if Milwaukee might fall into similar to what a Golden State did, mm-hmm, where they rely too much on some of these older players, not giving more young players opportunities. Because I feel like we've already seen Giannis's peak, and it's going to start coming down. And they've only kept the same team together. It's only worked one time. Something had to change. I just would have liked to have seen them get a little bit younger. But I do still like what they did.
Fair enough.
For sure. We're going to move on to losers. Jack, I'm throwing at you first. Who is your biggest loser of so far of the offseason in the NBA?
I think the biggest losers are the Golden State Warriors. Mm. They get rid of their best young star, in a sense, in Jordan Poole, who had all the potential in the world to be the next best three-point guard in the league, and go and trade for a 38-year-old Chris Paul.
Who doesn't want to come off the bench.
Well, and I understand that Chris Paul is an all-time great point guard, but this man can't stay out of injury. You know, he gets injured every season, especially close towards playoffs time. And if he does make it to the playoffs, he'll just get injured in the playoffs. I mean, year after year after year, this guy is getting injured. So he's a big liability for this team, and I don't understand why they went older. I understand maybe for skills-wise, but the older sense didn't help me because, and it's another side of this deal, why sign Draymond Green back to a 4-year deal? A sense, again, with the oldness of the team. Mm-hmm. You've got Curry getting older. You've got Klay getting older. You've got Draymond getting older. And now you've got the oldest guy is your newest member of the team in Chris Paul. I mean, I think this team is trying to grasp onto one last championship run, but I think these were the wrong moves to do so. You just went older. We saw the Los Angeles Lakers go older the year after they won the finals, and what happened there? Oh, they didn't make the playoffs. I see an incoming future, no playoffs for the Golden State Warriors.
Okay, Jason?
Actually, my losers are the Charlotte Hornets.
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, plain and simple, but I mean, I think they're overpaying LaMelo Ball. I mean, that Supermax
extension.
That deal
was kind of ridiculous. I mean, I get he's a good up-and-coming star, but I also agree he got a little overpaid.
Yes, very, very much. I mean, especially if you know, we see our own Jamal Murray, which I think him and Lamelo Ball, you can kind of compare it to. I feel like Jamal Murray's better, but it is what it is. And then they signed Miles Bridges, and that's it. They need a kind of clean house and make a whole bunch of different moves. And I don't know what Michael Jordan is trying to do here with this team.
Miles Bridges was a super controversial signing, too.
Yeah.
I mean, after all the domestic violence stuff that he went
through.
He's,
like, coming back. Like, he hasn't played in a year.
Yeah.
Well, if you remember, MJ is no longer owning.
He isn't.
It's the new regime, and they're the ones who are choosing to make that decision there. So
they need a clean house.
they Charlotte needs to do a few things, and oh, my goodness, it's kind of scary to think about. They're just now down 1 point to New Orleans.
Well, I mean,
right now.
I mean, if you're Charlotte, like, are you trying to build around Lamelo Ball? Because I feel like that's a failed plan.
Essentially, yes. You're hoping that this core of Lamelo Ball and Brandon Miller can be your future with the help of a veteran sense of Gordon Hayward, which is just sad. that sentence was super sad to say.
Yeah. My loser is going to be the New York Knicks.
Okay.
I was debating between that one and someone else.
For me, it was either New York or Charlotte, because Charlotte, they actually didn't even, you know, get anybody in free agency. They just re-signed. And the Knicks, all they did was bring back DiVincenzo.
The Knicks, took a sidestep.
It was literally like, okay, we're happy with what we have. And if you've ever seen a Tom Thibodeau team, if he likes what he has, he's not going to do anything to mess with that pot. And it was just, like Estelle said, it is a sidestep.
And it was weird because I do like the one move they made, but they only made one.
Exactly.
Like, it was a great move for their team, but they didn't do anything else, and they ended up losing players. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why I also have New York on my short losers list, because it was like, you clearly got outmatched in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then you don't do anything to, like, take the step forward. You're in, like, the weaker conference, so it's not like you took a step back. It was literally, like, in my head, they, like, are on the path to the thing and just, like, took a sidestep.
Yeah.
Instead of doing it. My biggest losers are the Chicago Bulls.
I had them actually up there, too.
Yeah. So they brought in Javon Carter, Torrey Craig, and re-signed Coby White. I just think it's odd, especially the 2-3-year deals. Just very odd. And then bringing in Torrey Craig. We know what Torrey Craig is. He's not what he used to be.
Right.
But again, I don't think they took a step forward. Like, they were in the play-in last year.
Mm-hmm.
I assume they can get back there again this year, just in the weaker East. But I feel like none of these, like, helps in any way. Like, they didn't bring in a guy to, like, put him over the edge.
And I think they're still going to rely this season on the talents of DeRozan and
LaVine.
Yeah,
I love LaVine.
They're two very talented players, but they're not going to bring your team to the promised land.
They're not a star.
They added more role players, but in reality, they need another star somewhere somehow. Because obviously, Lonzo Ball is not coming back.
Yeah, that's rough. But
that ship has sailed.
Yeah, but another team that I just want to go. Give a quick shout out to for a winner has to be the Washington Wizards.
Yeah.
And some of these moves that they have made have been absolutely spectacular. You know, getting Tyus Jones, Danilo Gallinari, and Mike Muscala, you know, two of those names don't really pop out to me, but Tyus Jones, very young, very gritty. I like what he's been able to do. You go get Jordan Poole, you know, he comes over from Golden State, so you have your brand new backcourt. Obviously, you go get Landry Shamet. We all know him for being the guy that AG dunked on
yes.
Christmas
His soul
Day.
Was eaten.
But mm-hmm. He's still a very solid guard piece. So and not to mention, they have still a boatload of draft picks. I don't think Washington's done. I would not be surprised to see that they are buyers when we get closer to the trade deadline.
Well, and I think a couple of couple of other notable winners. I just think the Boston Celtics are winners. I think that Porzingis trade was super key to their team.
When they got rid of some pieces that...
Yeah, they needed a younger big man. They got rid of pieces that they didn't want to end up paying. And also the Houston Rockets. I mean, I know the Dylan Brooks signing was weird, but they got Van Vliet, Jock Landau, Jeff Green, Aaron Holiday, Dylan Brooks. I mean, that's a pretty good signing for this young core, bringing in some veteran presence and really shaping up your team.
Absolutely. Well, we are going to take a quick break on the Best Damn Sports Show period. When we get back, we're going to continue some off-season talk, but switching up to NHL. We're going to have all the boys ask me some questions, talking who got better, who got worse. I'll give them their info about the NHL off-season. We'll be right back on the Best Damn Sports Show period.
taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy-dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than Go Mile High Dicam, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Hurry, young Papsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Papsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah... GoMileHigh.com.
Colorado Media School, hands-on learning in one of the most exciting career fields out there. Internship opportunities are limitless. We have 3 on-campus radio stations, 2 TV stations, and you'll have the opportunity to participate in projects like doing play-by-play live from a sporting event or the 48-hour film project. We have after-graduation career placement assistance and financial aid for those who qualify. Check us out online at ColoradoMediaSchool.com, on Facebook and Instagram, and CO Media School on Twitter and Snapchat. You can also call 303-937-7070.
This is Estelle and...
Tonight, we are the greatest hockey team in the world.
This is the best damn sports show, period. And we are back on the best damn sports show, period. We're going to continue some more NBA offseason talk with some more interesting teams. Maybe we don't know if they got better, if they got worse, but the first one I wanted to bring up was the Dallas Mavericks. They've made a lot of moves. They brought back Kyrie Irving. Where are some other ones?
They brought
Seth Curry in. They brought in Grant Williams with the trade with the Celtics. I just think it's interesting. Like, I don't know if they got better or worse, but they needed to do something after their horrific slide last year.
You know, it's... I feel like the Mavericks have done this for the past couple years, where it's like they're relying on Luka to fix all their problems, and they made really small moves in the off seasons. I think that Seth Curry was a great signing, Grant Williams, you know, they brought back Kyrie Irving, of course, but is that enough for this team? I really don't know, because right now Christian Wood's still out there on the chopping block. Who's going to be their big man? I think there's still a lot of questions in Dallas, especially with the way their season ended.
I know.
These off-season moves are interesting, yeah, but they're a type of team I need to see how their season starts to really get a grasp on what they're trying to do.
I will say this, if it doesn't work, do not be surprised if Kyrie gets shipped again.
I wouldn't be surprised at all, actually.
And it's on a 3-year deal, which I feel like is a lot harder to trade out than a 1-year deal.
Isn't this Luka's last year on his contract?
It might be.
It's either his last or he's got a player option after. He's very close, but we all know Dallas is going to give him that Supermax.
Well, yeah,
they're not going to let him go.
They're going to offer him as much money as they possibly can. I mean, Luka is...
No, Luka's with them till 2027.
That's what I thought.
Oh, okay, so he just
had an extension, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he just signed a deal. Yeah, I mean, the Mavericks, we'll see. I mean, they had a very, very disappointing ending of their season, and it didn't seem like they improved. Didn't seem like they got any worse. They're kind of stuck in the middle.
I still don't see it working with him and Kyrie.
They're maximum a play-in team in my book.
I would agree with that, or maybe very low end on the
like
six.
Six, maybe.
Yeah, but I don't see them coming out of the Southwest Division with Memphis still there, New Orleans still there.
It's especially if maybe we can see a healthy Zion season. I mean, we know that's very doubtful, but it might happen one of these days.
Never know.
One more thing about the Mavs. I think they might win the in-season tournament. Like, that team just screams me, like, November, peak team, where, like, before everything goes wrong in the second half of the year.
It'll be like a Suns would win that team, because their star players can just ball out for a couple games, you know, and win the three or four games or whatever they have to play. I agree still. I mean, I think teams that are kind of stacked with multiple stars, such as a Kyrie and Luka or a Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, like those type of teams will end up winning the in-season tournament just because we saw Kevin Durant and Devin Booker turn it on in the playoffs a couple games versus the Nuggets. They couldn't do it in a seven-game series, but this isn't a seven-game series, so they might actually be able to capture that.
Personally, I would watch out for the Sacramento Kings in that tournament.
That too, yep. The Golden State Warriors, I think, could win that too.
Yeah, there's definitely a few viable candidates.
But
you want to talk about?
I do. I know Ian doesn't want to, and you guys don't want to, but I think we should talk about the Lakers. I mean, as Nuggets fans, we hate the Lakers. I get that. I don't like the Lakers. I get that. But I really actually think they are winners this offseason. I think they made moves crucial to, you know, improving next season. We don't give them enough credit for, as Nuggets fans, the media obviously does, but us in this room don't give them enough credit for what they did last year. They were a trash team that was not even close to making the playoffs and ended up going to Western Conference Finals. Now they make moves like bringing back Rui Hachimura, huge, bringing back Reeves, huge, both key role players, and then two more key role players, and Taurean Prince and Jackson Hayes. I know you can look at it and be like, these guys are all bums. Well, yeah, they're all bench players. Technically, they're all bums, but they are key role players to this squad. Now you have two big men to come off the bench to help Anthony Davis, not just one, in Rui and Jackson Hayes, and you add an additional shooting piece in Prince. Keep Reeves, who just seems to be getting better every year. I mean, the bottom three guys can do whatever you want with them. Cam Reddish isn't going to see the floor. D'Angelo Russell will score 30 points once a month.
Be a cone on defense.
Gabe Vincent, I mean, he'll hit a couple threes every game, but he's still a mid player. But the Los Angeles Lakers already have stars. They're just building around them, and I actually think they did a great job this offseason.
Did you hear LeBron James is coming back?
Yes, I did.
I think that's, the biggest news. No, I definitely think – I think they got better. I think the Reeves deal is a slight overpay.
I do too, but I think he had to get that or else he was leaving.
I think so too. I do enjoy how they brought back Rui Hachimura. We might have that
a change.
Jokic stopper, Rui Hachimura. I do enjoy – I like how they brought in Gabe Vincent. Mm-hmm. He did – perform in the playoffs. He wasn't a ghost, kind of like D'Angelo Russell is in that Western Conference series. I saw somewhere today that, like, it seems like Russell and Vincent are going to be battling for that spot as a starting job.
Well, and they didn't bring Vincent on for they gave him the money he deserved, which was not a lot. So I mean, if it doesn't work out, you're not losing that much money from it.
So I think they did a lot of smart things. Again, Taurean Prince on that 1 year deal. Everything else was a little bit, but I think they set themselves up for success. It's just, will all these guys perform like they did last year?
It's another offseason of, we're going to put all these players in the pot and see if the chemistry sticks. Luckily for them, they do have built chemistry with a couple of these guys finally that they're bringing back. So that's why I think it could be more successful. You're bringing back a guy like Hachimura and Reeves and Russell, who were with this team to the Western Conference Finals. They already have that chemistry. You add in a couple other young players to build up that chemistry. I'm not saying the Lakers are going to win the finals, but I think they're going to be better than a play-in team.
I'll give you that much.
And I think they're going to do some damage in the playoffs again. They're not going to be a first-round exit. They have LeBron James.
I will give you that. I totally thought your conversation with this was going to go way off the rails and kind of like what a lot of the other sports media like to do and instantly crown them. And, you know, again, I don't have a problem with them bringing back Rui and Reeves. Those, again, were the big moves that they needed to do.
Yeah.
I just wonder with these other pieces how effective they are going to be.
Yep.
'Cause especially with these bigger players, like bringing in Jackson Hayes, we know that AD's not going to play all 82.
No.
You know, how effective is that going to be? How good is that chemistry going to be with LeBron before LeBron goes into Le GM mode? Or does he even get an option to do that? You know, Cam Reddish, I feel like he could actually contribute a little bit more. D'Lo and Vincent, if I'm being 100% honest,
they're also kind of the same player.
I feel like they are trade pieces, and I feel like the Lakers, they brought them in because they want the names there, but I wonder if they're just going to end up flipping them to maybe get a little bit bigger of an asset. I have no issue putting them in the playoffs. I just don't know if they're going to be as good as they were last season, because I do feel that Memphis is getting better. Whoa. I feel Sacramento's getting better. Phoenix got better. Denver, still reigning defending. I mean,
I do agree with you, and I imagine them around us between 4 and 6 seed this season. I don't think they're going to fall short of that, and they're definitely, like, 4 is maximum. That's their best possible season.
Sure.
But, I mean, either it's a trade piece or kind of what you were saying, Estelle. I think Russell and Vincent, bringing them both back, is one of you is going to win the position. We didn't bring either of you back for too much money. Whoever plays better is going to end up getting this position. The other one, sorry, we're going to ship you off at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Or maybe both. I mean, it could be a sense of both of them. But you just mentioned the Memphis Grizzlies, and I know you had some interest in that team. Tell us about it, Ian.
So I actually like the Memphis moves. You know, bringing in Desmond Bane, he really was a big catalyst for Memphis, especially with Ja Morant being out. I did like his play. So I don't know about giving him $200 million, but if Memphis wants to do that, sure.
It was maybe a $40 million a year for Bane was far too much in my book, but if you need to keep him for that money, go for it.
Yep. And then Marcus Smart, I think, is going to be a huge addition because, again, when we think Memphis, we think grit and grind. And Marcus Smart is definitely grit and grind. Isaiah Todd is a very solid piece to fill up the backup center role to Steven Adams. D-Rose, I mean, I will not bash a team having D-Rose because I still envy the days that he was good. I know that he has 50-point games in him. We saw him do it in Minnesota. So
give it to the other end, Memphis.
Yep.
Also, I actually do kind of like the trade for Josh Christopher. He hasn't done too much in his career, but he is a very talented young player that can score at a high level. And putting him in an environment where it's more of a structured young team. I understand that Ja Morant isn't structured himself, but the rest of the young players do seem structured and seem to know what they're doing. And maybe giving Josh Christopher some structure away from the Rockets where he could kind of do whatever he wanted, he might end up flourishing in a backup position. I also think another key piece to Marcus Smart joining this team is he can be a great role model for Ja Morant.
Outside of flopping, though.
Well, not some flopping. More, I'm saying
I know.
As a man, yeah. You know? And yep. Steven Adams is coming back. I think that Ja is going to be held really accountable. Marcus Smart, obviously, I think he had a couple problems in college, but really turned things around when he made it to the NBA and has become a true role model for, you know, grit and grime guys in this league. And this team is grit and grime, so he's going to be a great veteran role model that's played in the finals, that's played in the playoffs every year, and might be a key step to pushing this team to the next level.
Absolutely. One other team I want to shout out is the Raptors. They brought in Broken Hand Jaden McDaniels. I just thought it was funny. and they brought in Dennis Schroeder as well. I think those are two very good steps and for a team that was like knocking on the door.
Let's just shout out the Thunder because they still got 35 first-round picks.
The Thunder, the Wizards. It seems like
every the Jazz.
Team. Yeah, any team that's stockpiling, you know, for a while we were making a joke of saying, congratulations, if you're reading this, you got traded for 5 second-round picks. These teams might have actually been balling out by getting these extra picks. That's just going to be more worth it when trade deadlines come up. You know, we could see some of these bigger pieces potentially get moved.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to tell you why. Toronto, Carolina, and Detroit are your three biggest losers of the NHL offseason. This is the Best Damn Sports Show, period. We will be right back.
young Popsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Popsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, go my...